Welcome to Ancient Future Today, your invitation to deepen your mastery. Well, hello everyone, it's Megan here. And today we're going to be taking a deep dive into key number 9, imagination. And if you have a chance, it would be great if you could look at the sacred robe number 9, the imagination robe. And you'll see an image of the Australian Aboriginal art with a young boy and then an older man transmitting their wisdom. And above the young boy is like a sun image with rays of that sun that go off in every direction. And it looks like it's a journey trail into another imaginative place. And so take a look at the imagination robe and you'll see that many images from Australian Aboriginal art and depicting dream time and these song lines, and it really will stir your imagination. So I've got the Grand Council with me here today, and Grand Council, welcome. And I'm looking forward to doing a deep dive into key number 9, imagination.
And it is such an amazing thing to imagine doing together, is it not?
Yes.
With the readers and the listeners and all of whom will participate in these discussions, whether it is in the original podcast, which are numbers which, please?
31, 32, and 33 on Bits of Enlightenment.
Excellent. And so it is that the precursor to this 33 podcast series are the trilogies of robes and keys for the ancient future dot today. And so we invite everyone who is listening to this, should this be your entry point, to visit the trilogy for imagination, key number 9, is it not?
Yes.
And so when you go to the ancientfuture.today website, you will go to Bits of Enlightenment or Podcasts, is it not? Mm-hmm. And then a drop-down menu. You see we're getting very good at this finally. Drop-down menu for Bits of Enlightenment. And you will go to Podcast 31, 2, and 3 for imagination. And you will find a great deal of the detail that we will not be covering or mentioning in this podcast that will allow you to take an even deeper dive than this particular podcast will allow you to do on imagination. And because imagination is how each and every one of you co-creates your reality on planet Earth, we heartily recommend that you do a bit of study on this particular 4 podcast offering on imagination. And so with that as our introduction, dear Megan, what is it that is top of mind for you on this topic?
Well, I was really struck when I re-listened to the 3 podcasts, Normal Magic, Dream Time, and Journeying with Possibilities. I was really struck at how important it is in our culture right now to join together, to dream and imagine the world together that we want to create, co-create. And this imagining together has captured my imagination right now because it feels like this is the way we are going to co-create and usher in this new paradigm, is to imagine the world we want together in community and the kind of coherence and resonance that that creates when we're imagining a similar dreamtime reality.
Very, very lovely starting point for this particular discussion, because, of course, you are creating that world right now, mm-hmm. however you are creating it, however you are imagining it. Every single one of you sitting, lying, driving, doing whatever you are doing as you contemplate imagination are in the active co-creation phase of your world, your worlds, your individual worlds, and reality, in quote marks, as you experience it, you see. So if you are consciously imagining the world you wish to create together. That takes every bit of your imagination to a much higher level than if it is just the imagining you do organically day to day or moment to moment. And in this pursuit, what we would ask all of you to be and do so that you can have the world that you wish to have is to really take a deep dive on what you consider your values in life to be, whether it is love and health and financial security and education and community and whatever, all of the different possibilities that it might be. And to also do the inventory on those things that you value that you would not say out loud unless you were in like-minded groups. For example, that we are superior to other people of different nationalities or countries or races or skin colors or whatever it might be. There are many of you in the world who believe this to be a very heartfelt value, that you somehow are superior to others. And there are other values, like it doesn't matter what other people experience or suffer from, as long as I, me, my, and mine are all right, we will get ours first and the rest of you can go to hell. Or just make do however you make do. You see, we are bringing these negative shadow values that we would label such because that is the world that has already been so well created and is being reinforced on a day-to-day, moment-to-moment basis, both consciously and much more so these days than previously by many more people than there used to be involved in this sort of co-creation. And so the forces of that value system are butting up against the forces of the value systems of those, and we call them forces, for they are, as in the may the force be with you sort of terminology, against the values of those who are inclusive and co-creative as communities in terms of everyone is welcome, everyone has the right to a good life, all the different values that this particular group or groups would value, you see. So where do you see the imagining weaving between these things and harmonizing and coming up with a world on your planet that all can share and thrive within in their own ways? How do you see that? How can you imagine that working?
Well, my imagination goes to that when a community of people agree on a vision of the way the world, they want the world to be according to certain values, like we are equal, every human is divine and has a divine spark, we are all petals of one flower or facets of a diamond. These are powerful ideas, and when we can imagine that idea together, for example, that humanity is a diamond with many facets and that each facet has a value, that is a powerful idea. And if a million people or a billion people were all imagining that idea together, then we would actually create it. So that's where I see imagination weaving into the value system when we agree and focus our imagination on an idea that has power behind it.
All right. And building upon that possibility and that paradigm, if humanity is one large diamond with endless facets, then there is room for everybody and everything and every idea, paradigm, value system, etc., to be part of that diamond, is there not? So how, if you are imagining a world of harmony and love and brother and sisterhood and divine male and female balance and all of the kinds of things that we know that you stand for and that we are promulgating, how do you reconcile that with race crimes and bigotry and racism and separatist paradigms and elitism and cronyism and cabals and all the different things that are coming to light now in your societies worldwide. How do you reconcile a world that has it all?
Right, because each one of those is one possible facet of this human diamond.
Well, currently, if we use the paradigm of a humanity as a diamond, that is the reality.
Well,
so how do you reconcile that? It would be no different imagining a new world with all of that than it is experiencing your current world with all of that, with a few very salient exceptions. So that is where we are going with this discussion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know the exact answer to this because I think it is the problem that we're faced with in our world. And, you know, I also know that these shadow characteristics are human possibilities because we have free will. So we can experiment with the shadow energies if we choose to. So it is part of our human nature, although it's one particular expression of our human nature. So I have a vision of another aspect of human nature, which is our divine spark, and a world in which humans create more harmony rather than chaos. I know that's not answering your question, and I really don't know the answer to how we reconcile all of these negative energies or difficulties.
We would call them destructive.
Yeah, they are destructive energies. And I'm not naive enough to think that, you know, there's some utopian world without the darker side of human nature, because I don't think that's possible in our current
state.
You are
answering what we have asked you to do because you're using your imagination. There is no definitive answer for this. Mm. Were there, we would give it to you and put everything that we are behind all of you who would buy that particular paradigm and make it happen, for the earth is long overdue for paradise to return.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, you are anywhere, everywhere except paradise right now, are you not?
Mm-hmm. Although, I was speaking with Diane earlier today, and we were both speaking of our own personal experiences resonating with joy and having images, using our imagination to feel into a world of harmony where people really are loving one another and we're a big symphony as we come together as different facets of this diamond. So, you know, both of us have had very deep and profound experiences where we know that this is possible for human beings.
And we would say to you that the key to that is being what it is you imagine.
Absolutely. Thank you. So bringing it right back home, right to our core, and then living it, being on the inside of that.
Because then you actually have what it is that you wish to experience.
Mm-hmm.
You're not looking for it outside of yourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You recognize it in one another when you meet a like-spirited, like-minded, like-hearted individual. And there is always room for more in that paradigm.
Yes.
And it is a weave of a new sort on your planet, so to speak. It has been held, the potential for this imagining has been held and attributed to your icons, for example, the Dalai Lama or Buddha or Mohammed or Yesu or whomever it is over the ages that have been the iconic holders of this possibility. And now all of you who are on the planet of the Earth, who wish to see if paradise is possible to regain or to reinstall, much like a program on a computer that has gone rogue and that has many, many different viruses and is now at the at the laptop doctor and being revised, and can we reinstall it and see if it works? And others of you recognize that perhaps that program and that particular operating system are due for a trashing and allow something completely different to take its place. Now that is change. That is true change on your planet. If everything that you are familiar with were to disappear overnight and you woke up and everything was a fresh field of possibility and a white paper sort of exercise began on your planet, very few of you would do well in that environment. Very, very few. Mm-hmm. The minutest number of you would do well. And it would be those who understand that every moment is created anew, afresh, already. Mm-hmm. Most of what you are experiencing on your planet are replays of old patterns, replays of old scenarios, replays of fears that have been around for millennia, as long as humans have had fear. Replays and replays and replays, and the tapes are wearing out, you see. So at some point, the system will break down completely and either have to be repaired in the manner to which all of you have come to recognize it, so that you can reinstall an old program anew, or you will conspire, those of you who are brave enough, to create something fresh. Mm. Now, what say you to this?
Wow, I'm feeling into what you're saying, and I imagine that if we all woke up and a new field was before us, that the artists and the creators and the explorers would actually find it exciting, and that most people would find it absolutely terrifying.
Mm. And this is why it has not happened yet. It is possible. It is just as viable a possibility as anything else.
Absolutely.
And yet, the fear that most people feel all the time, or at least often enough, keeps them recreating the paradigms that they cling to for familiarity, security, and assurance.
Yes, I can really see that and feel that.
Mm, and so can the listening audience, for very few will find this podcast, unfortunately. It would be nice if the majority could at least be exposed to the heresy that we are promulgating. What we are suggesting to all of you is that you spend time every day imagining in a brand new field that is fresh, that has nothing familiar in it, and yourself navigating through it with comfort, joy, pleasure, abandon, whatever it might be that the words are for one who does choose to navigate in this sort of milieu, if you will, and allow that part of your own nature to blossom.
Mm. Wow. Just as you were talking, Grand Council, I was reminded that on the grand light grid that people can look up, this particular pathway of imagination moves between key number 2, renewal, and key number 7, joy. Key number 5, passion, and then joy, of course, key number 7. So it's connected to joy, it's connected to passion, and it's connected to renewal. And I love that image of imagining a fresh field with my imagination, knowing that it's going to bring renewal, knowing that I can fill it with my passion and that I will feel joy. It just really feels powerful knowing what it's the keys that it's connected to. So thank you for
that. It is truly powerful. And where will people find that grid of light that you have referenced?
Yeah, they can go to my website, meganwagner.com, and look under the sacred robes and they'll find the light grid.
Mm. And so this is a paradigm, again, that has been promulgated through many ages, originating in the Kabbalah, is it not? Or originating in something else that the Kabbalah then codified, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And so it is not a new idea by any means. It is an ancient future idea today. And so that is why we have allowed one paradigm of sorts, the tree of life, the Kabbalah basics, all of that, that is a paradigm. It is not the truth. It is
That's
a
true.
paradigm. And what we have allowed that, why we have allowed that to be the, shall we say, the organizing framework for the ancient future dot today, is because it is based on light and love and evolution. Whereas many paradigms are not quite as complete and they do not lend themselves quite as well to bringing through these ideas in ways that will allow those of you who do choose to use your time, energy, and other resources to create a life that is good for all and the planet, for Earth. Other paradigms are missing pieces sometimes, or they are too complex, or they are this, or they are that. And so we will take responsibility and credit, if we may, for choosing the Kabbalah as the way to present all of this to all of you that are being drawn into, by your own volition and your pre-agreement, into becoming part and parcel of the creation team for this new world that you have decided, both individually as souls and collectively as soul group, to come and see if it's going to be possible in your lifetimes, in the next two generations. Is it possible to turn around something that has become so imbalanced in the shadow and the dark and the negative and the blah, 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 blah? Is it possible? And that is the experiment. And that is why we are all here. And that is why we are all talking.
I think that's why it is so powerful to have mutual agreement on particular ideas, such as the lotus flower or the diamond, and that each human being has a divine spark, that we are reawakening that divine spark. Those ideas that people resonate very deeply with are like a calling card or a beacon, a rallying resonance around which we can imagine this world that we do want and we know, because we can feel it deep, deep, deep in our core self.
That is a very good point. And as you were mentioning that, were there a movie playing in the background as you were narrating what you just said, there would have been a panoply of visuals for people to see the Nazi swastika, which was co-opted, by the way, from Buddhism by the Nazis. And so it was a symbol that had a very positive meaning initially, co-opted by the Nazis during the World War II, which then became a very positive rallying cry for the Germans, until it became a not-so-positive rallying cry for another group of individuals, and for many of the Germans who then became aware of how it was being used, you see. So in your modern world, that symbol has been tarnished by the blood and the hatred and the persecution and prosecution of so many different human beings of all nations. So many soldiers died in the guise of freeing people from others, you see. And so the panoply of images would have been the cross for the Christians. And for some, the cross without Jesus hanging on it bleeding has a very different meaning than when there is a cross with Jesus hanging on it bleeding and with holes in hands and feet and side, you see. And so whatever symbology individuals choose to focus on and rally around, we ask you all on this call, whether it is current or it in the year 2016, the month of December, or it is 2020 in June, whenever you are listening to this, look at the symbols that you surround yourself with and that live within you and that take your life pulse and your blood to keep them alive. And say to yourself, is this helping me create the world I wish to live in, that I wish to leave to my children and grandchildren and to all sentient life on this and in this planet? Is this the symbol? And if it is not, switch it, because symbols, switching symbols is much easier than switching paradigms.
Mm-hmm.
When you switch the symbol, the paradigm follows.
Right. Right. Absolutely.
And it is that easy.
Mm-hmm.
For a Christian who is tired of being a sinner by the paradigm's edict, take Jesus off the cross.
Mm-hmm.
He did not die for your sins. He died to show you that life and death are part and parcel of the same thing in human form.
Mm-hmm.
He died and rose again to show you everyday magic.
Mm-hmm.
He died so that you would find within your being the capacity for compassion.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And because
he
we... Yes.
He did not die because you are sinners.
Right.
That is a distortion.
Right. And what you're saying is so powerful about us being much, much more conscious about the images around us, the images that we orient our life around, the energy that we give them. And not only, I think you're encouraging us to switch the symbols and then the paradigm will follow, and that we can do that on a larger scale, so that if groups and communities are willing to dream together and to find images and symbols that work, that work for them, and that will, and that usher in this new world order, this new paradigm that we all want to live in. I mean, I think paradise is a very powerful image, and that would be an interesting one to focus on.
Indeed, and make sure when you are picking your symbols that they are inclusive of any and everyone who shares a desire to see paradise return to earth, for she is a paradise. She is designed to host all of you quite comfortably and happily and easily and prosperously for each and every one of you. As long as you do not take more than you need,
mm-hmm.
you see. That is where everything has gone wonky on your planet, is that some have experimented with the my have, you suffer sort of formula to the degree that it has become quite imbalanced. And so not only do I have way more than I could ever even be aware of, and so many have so little.
Mm-hmm.
You see.
Mm-hmm.
So make sure that whatever symbology you do embrace in whatever groupings that you choose to pursue for creating something different than what has been going on for millennia on your planet, that the symbols literally do welcome others who are keen to join into the creation pods, if you will.
Mm. Thank you for
Be
that.
Be very conscious, ultra conscious of what the symbology means, for symbols are very, very powerful.
Yes. Thank you for that encouragement.
You are most welcome. We have very little else. This is a short investigation into imagination, because as we said in the beginning moments of this particular podcast, the three podcast 31, 2, and 3 on the ancientfuture.today website are chock full of insights, suggestions, invitations, indicators, all sorts of things are embedded in those three that are quite enough coupled with this one. And so we invite all of the listeners to journey into that particular trilogy. Should you be interested in how imagination works, why it works, how you can work it, and how it makes a big difference in your life when it is active and passionate.
Mm. Thank you.
You are most welcome. Have you any last comments?
No, I think you've given us so much to think about. I appreciate it. Yes. Thank you very much.
You are more than welcome. And to all of you listening and to all of you who will be listening, we give to you our greatest love in all ways, always. And for now, a very fond adieu.
Your journey of mastery continues. Enjoy the next of the 33 podcasts.